Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You are now listening to the Prescription for Purpose podcast, the go-to destination for women who are tired of feeling burnt out and stuck in the exhausting cycle of doing but not thriving. Each week, we'll provide you with Christ-centered mental wellness prescriptions to help you reclaim your peace, renew your purpose, and live life spiritually well. And if you're a therapist or a coach, the tools and insights that we curate here will help you make a Christ-centered impact on your clients today. Are you ready, sis? Let's get started. Hey, friend, welcome back to another episode of the Prescription for Purpose podcast. I'm so glad you are here. We are picking up where we left off last week. We had started talking about the four horsemen of spiritual sabotage, those sneaky little patterns, okay, that are really keeping you stuck. And we're back for part two. If you missed last week, I want you to pause for the cause. Go listen to last week's episode where we talked about information without intimacy. That's you knowing a lot about God, but never actually experiencing Him. And then obedience without revelation, which is following God's commands, even though you're not encountering His heart. I know we went deep. I know it may have been a little uncomfortable, but that's a good thing, right? Because in order for God to heal, He needs to reveal. Clock that. But we want to make sure that we have the full picture. So go back and listen to part one if you have not. Get all your notes together. Now, before we hop in, I know y'all seen that app update. I know you seen it. If you haven't, right now the app is live for Apple users. I'm going to work in the next couple of weeks to get it out to the Google Play Store, but you can download The Spiritual Well. It is now available. I'm going to be doing a live walkthrough in the next couple of weeks, so make sure you download it. And then when that event is coming up, you will see it within the app. So you can see all the things that it does. I'll be referencing it here. So for those of you who listen to the show and you have the app, I'll tell you some resources and some ways that you can utilize it as we start talking about emotions and feelings and things of the like. I'm so proud of me, okay? You ain't got to be proud, friend. I am. And I launched it imperfectly. There's still some things that I'm working on. And I said, you know what, God? Get it out. We're outside. We are outside with this app. I'm so excited to see how the Lord is going to utilize it and how it will bring glory to Him as His daughters get healed. And that's all the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay. Make sure you join us over too in the Purpose Collective. That's where you get all your resources for the podcast. And we got a little community action happening over there as well. Now, let's pick back up about these four horsemen, okay? You hear four horsemen, you may think apocalypse. I hear four horsemen, I think wrestling, okay? I just needed to get that out of my soul. You think four horsemen, you think apocalypse. Charlotte's thinking about wrestling. It's giving demon lingo. It's giving greats, All right? It's giving Ric Flair. I don't care how you think about it. I just need you to apply these principles. I'm a good player with y'all. So just knowing about the horsemen all by themselves is not enough, right? And I want us to make sure that as we deep dive into this, that we are not just listening to the series to consume, that you take notes, that you nod your head, that you like, ooh, girl, that's me, and then you still stay in the same position. And that's really what makes these horsemen so dangerous is that they are subtle. They look like faithfulness. They look like growth. They look like maturity, but they're silent killers. It's giving hypertension. It's giving blood pressure, okay? Silently killing you. Silently breaking down the way that your spiritual blood flows through your body. If you stay stuck in a place where you have information without intimacy, then you're going to end up spiritually educated, but relationally distant from God. If you stay stuck in a place where you have obedience without revelation, you're going to be spiritually busy, emotionally empty. Today, we are going to deep dive into the second half. I wanted to really make sure that we had those first two together last week because they are honestly the most dangerous because they look like passion and they look like transparency. It looked like obedience, but they're actually more like sabotage. So, our two final horsemen today, okay? Performance without purpose. This is when your faith becomes a constant hustle. You're always serving, striving, always busy, but you've lost the why. And then confession without conviction. This is where you talk about your struggles, you admit your sins, you pray about them, ain't nothing changed. We ain't repented. We haven't turned. And so we are going to break down how they show up, why they're destructive, and most importantly, how to break free. So grab your notes, your Bible, and your edges, friend. Okay. Unless you're driving, then don't do none of that. Keep your hands at 10 and 2. And then spin the block when you're ready to take notes. So here's what's most important. When we talk about these things, I want us to understand the goal primarily is for us to know Christ, to get closer to God. And through that, we are going to be dealing with our mental and emotional health too. I want to make sure that you understand as I present these things that the goal is for us to be Christ-centric. We're going to point back to God in His light shining upon us. Our mental and emotional health will be addressed as well. Spiritual sabotage doesn't just keep you stuck spiritually. It also drains you emotionally. It fills you with anxiety. It fills you with shame. It fills you with guilt. It fills you with exhaustion. And then you keep running on empty, feeling like you're constantly striving, but then you never show up. You never make it to the place. And that's not why Jesus died, okay? That's not what God has for you. Jesus came so that you may have life and life more abundantly. He did not die for you to live in a dry, disconnected faith. He did not call you to be a slave to your own spiritual hustle. He did not save you so you could sit in shame, always confessing, but never change. He called you into freedom and He called you into transformation. And so this is why we have to address this. So let's start first with performance without purpose. We already talked about information without intimacy. Okay, that's knowing a lot about God, but not actually ever experiencing Him. When we talk about obedience without revelation, feeling disconnected, but you're doing the things, even though you're resentful. When we look at performance without purpose, it's different because it looks like passion. But really, you're performing under pressure. Your faith is something that you're always doing, and then you have no real reason as to why you're doing it. And so now, instead of pursuing God, you're performing for Him. You got your tap shoes on. You're constantly doing the things for God, but you're never actually connected with Him doing it. Imagine if I showed up on this podcast like that, where I'm doing things for God, but not connecting with Him. So that's why in this season, particularly this season of the show, whereas I was so rigid about it having to be on Wednesdays, if the Lord right now is like, hey, Charlotte, you gonna do that on Friday? Friend, that's when it's coming out. That's when it's coming out. because I'm in a season right now where I am building a deeper intimacy with the Lord. So I'm not showing up in a way that looks ritualistic or that looks perfect, even with the launch of the app. It's not perfect, but I am building a level of intimacy with God where I'm allowing Him to dictate my day to day. This is how we're doing it in this season. And we find ourselves, especially as leaders, in a place where you're constantly doing things for God, but not actually connecting with Him. And now you have all of this spiritual activity, but there is no abiding in Christ. So you serve in every ministry, but you don't feel close to God. You lead Bible studies, but your own Bible is closed. You're not studying the Word for yourself at all. Right now, I'm walking through the book of Joshua for me. But in the society, we in the book of Romans. Because I have to eat too. Imagine if you were a chef or even a parent and you cooked for your family every day but didn't eat. Come on now. You're the go-to person for everybody's spiritual crises, but then you're drowning in your own. Or you're always on, you're always busy, you're always helping, and you're never at rest. And it's dangerous because it looks like you're being faithful. People will praise you for it. Like, oh, she's so dedicated. She's so passionate. But you're exhausted and you're frustrated and you're burnt out. And most importantly, you're empty. And y'all know we're going to pull up on our good sis Martha. In Luke 10, 38 through 42, we see the story of Mary and Martha. And for a lot of you, this may be a familiar story, but I want us to really understand and listen with fresh ears, okay? As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman, Martha, opened up her home to him. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Okay? Tell her to help me. Martha was not doing anything wrong. Okay? I need y'all to hear me. Martha is not in sin. She was trying her best to be a good host. She was making sure that everything was perfect for Jesus. But the problem was that she was distracted. Her serving became a source of stress, of frustration, and resentment. And she was so busy doing things for Jesus that she missed being with Jesus. And then Jesus' response really gets to the heart of the issue. He says, "Martha, Martha, verily, verily," okay? "You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Mary chose to be at the feet of Jesus present. Martha chose to give in to the pressure to perform. Mary chose connection and Martha chose control. And the danger is that Martha's problem isn't that she was just busy. Her problem was that her busyness became a substitute for intimacy. Her service became a source of anxiety instead of joy because it lacked intimacy. And so when you are dealing with performance without purpose, it will trick you into thinking that if you do more, if you serve more, if you give more, you will finally be close to God. But then the more that you do, you feel more empty. So now there's a never-ending race with no finish line. Now you're on a treadmill and you are running hard and you are making no progress. It is a lie that your value is in what you do for God instead of who He saw you to be when He formed you in your mother's womb. We are called to steward well over the purposes and the assignments that God has given us, but that is not the totality of your relationship. And I'm going to say this, and it might sound kind of crude, but a lot of us have been conditioned in our relationship. When we talk about a relationship having a level of intimacy, when we think about intimacy with men, in particular, we have been conditioned that the amount of love that we receive is based on how much we put out. And I'm not talking about food, okay? Okay. You've been conditioned that that's how you experience intimacy with with a man with another person. And if you're not putting out, then you feel rejected. And that's in earthly relationships with these men. You see how it's feeding, perform, it's feeding, get the BBL, it's feeding, doing all of this insecurity and shame. And God's trying to teach us how to have intimacy without us having to perform. And we have to do it with him first, and then we won't tolerate the foolishness. But you have been conditioned by societal pressures, by your childhood trauma, by all of these things to perform, even when it's disconnected from a purpose. So now you're not living in a way that is based on the values and who you are, but based on you just trying to get a basic human need, which is the need to feel love. But nobody loves us more than God. He put out before we did. The Bible is very clear that while we were yet sinners, he sent his son to die for us, just so we could have the opportunity to choose. It wasn't even guaranteed that we would respond. But while we were yet sinners, God loves you just the way that you are without you having to do 7,500 things. Do what you've been called to do, nothing more, nothing less. When you are dealing with performance without purpose, it's going to leave you mentally and emotionally drained. You're going to deal with chronic exhaustion. You're going to deal with anxiety and pressure. You're going to get resentful. You're going to start to resent the people that you're trying to help because you are looking at everyone else and it looks like they got their feet kicked up. You're looking at people who are coming to you because you're directing them to the feet of Jesus as a leader. You're getting irritated with them because you look like Martha. And we have to be mindful of that, especially as Christian leaders. You're going to end up spiritually dry. You're doing all of these things for God, but you're not feeling his presence. You are rushing your prayers. You're not praying consistently. Your quiet time is non-existent. You're isolating yourself because you're so busy. You have no time for real, meaningful relationships. Even though you're surrounded by all of these people, you feel completely disconnected. And then your self-worth is tied to your productivity. You only feel valuable when you're doing something. But your value goes beyond what you put out. This comes from a lot of different places. The first is an identity crisis. Somehow you have tied your value to what you do instead of tying your identity and your value to the fact that you're a new creature in Christ. Perfectionism. You believe that if you're not doing everything perfectly, that you're failing. Approval addiction. Because you crave validation from God, from others, from leaders. So you keep saying yes. And then you have a fear of slowing down because then you're going to have to look at your own emptiness in the face. You may fear rejection because you may feel like if you're not needed, then that means that you are not loved. You may feel shame because you feel like you're never enough. And so this is how you overcompensate, is by doing all the things. You may experience emotional neglect because you grew up in an environment where love was conditional. And so that you now have been conditioned again to associate usefulness, your output, with being loved. Or you use the constant busyness as a coping mechanism for your anxiety, and so it keeps you from having to deal with your thoughts or your feelings. All of these root causes are things that we need to identify and we need to eradicate. So here are some ways that you transform from performance without purpose. First, I need you to reclaim your identity. You are not a performer. You are a daughter of the King. You don't have to tap dance and shuck and jive and put on blackface and do whatever it is. You ain't got to do it. I need you to see real cartoonish. You ain't got to put on your red nose and your clown makeup. Like, the Lord is, he delights in us and who we are because he made us. Like, the Lord doesn't just love you, he likes you. Your value is not in what you do. It is in who you are to God. It is relational. So I want you to really just start your day with a simple declaration of like, God, I'm loved even when I'm not productive. I have found recently that the way that the Lord has me having my quiet time is away from my office, away from my prayer closet, because I go in there and I'm a student. I'm being discipled. I'm getting into the Greek and the Hebrew. Recently, as I go through the book of Joshua, the Lord is like, no, bring that Bible into your room. So what I did, because I got the ADHD, I bought a second Bible, one for my office and one for my room. Don't ask no questions, okay? Mind your business. I was doing what God told me. But I have found that the level of revelation that I receive, even without having the Greek and the Hebrew, it is still very profound, very practical. And more importantly, it's personal. It's very intimate. God has been revealing things to me that I have had questions about, that when I'm exegeting and contextualizing and doing all of the right things to do, like Martha, doing the right things, there's a level of intimacy that I miss. I need you to do that. I need you to go back to being a daughter. Do whatever strategy that the Lord is calling you to do, which brings me to my next point, unproductive prayer. You don't have to go to God with a list of all the things. You can and you should bring your petitions to him. But I want you to start setting a timer for 5 minutes just to sit with God. And just, Lord, I'm here. Your servant is listening. If you find your mind wandering, Jesus, I'm listening. You can just say it out loud. And you do that to condition yourself to not have to come in with the rah, rah, rah all the time. The Lord honors the rah, rah, rah. He also honors the groans and the moans that the Holy Spirit is able to just intercede for and translate for us, because we don't have words to articulate what we feel. I want you to start setting boundaries. Every opportunity that comes your way is not an assignment. Just because there is a need doesn't mean that you're the one that's called to fill it. And this is where intimacy comes in. Do you even ask God before you take on a new obligation? I will tell y'all, at one point in my life, I did not. I did not. I had to pass a test right before graduation. I had an opportunity where I could teach adjunct at a school, talk to the lady, got all the outline, got done talking to her. And I prayed and the Lord said, nope, shut it down. Huh? God, do you see how much it's pay? Do you see the eggs at $700? Nope. Shut it down. What you don't see, Sharla, is that I have work for you to do. I've given you all of this revelation. I've given you the strategy for the second half of the year. You need to implement it. And you teaching at this school is not going to be a backup plan. So now I had to set some boundaries without feeling guilty. Hey, girl, I know we had talked. I know you thought you was going to see me Friday to do this teach back. I can't. I can't do it. I can't. So when you are asked to commit, here are two things I want you to ask yourself. Did God call me to this, or did I volunteer out of obligation? And you can even write down all of the commitments that you have and ask yourself this. Did I hear God say, go do this? Or did I volunteer because I felt obligated? Is this drawing me closer to God, or is it pulling me away? And then if you're overcommitted, you need to start choosing things to prune. And you need to sit with the Lord and ask him to help you prune those things. And then finally, I want you to transform your service into worship. True service is an act of love. It's not an act of obligation. So before you serve, I want you to pray like, Lord, I offer this to you as worship. Let it bring me closer to you. If you're leading Bible study, God, speak through me, less of me and more of you. When I teach Bible study, before I get on this microphone, I'm constantly praying and asking Holy Spirit to show up, to decrease me so that he may increase. And more importantly, that although I have these notes to keep me and my ADHD within the confines of the episode, I also am bent to the Holy Spirit. And so if the Lord wants to send this episode somewhere else, I give him full rein to do that. Whatever it is that y'all need to hear, that is what I want to articulate out of my mouth. And I pray that prayer. So we have to be mindful that every time we serve, it's worship. It's so that God may be glorified. It's so that his mission can be complete. It is not simply us going through the motions. And a lot of us as leaders, people with platforms, whatever the case may be, we can become very casual with the assignment that God has entrusted us with. And that's how you know that you've lost your way. When you start feeling uninspired, when it starts to feel like work, check your boundaries. Make sure you're not overcommitting. You may have slipped into a place where you are performing, but you've lost the purpose. You've lost the heart and the value behind it. And you take a step back and you ask God to reveal, heal, deal, so you can get back out and do what you need to do and to remove the things that you don't need to do anymore. Now, let's talk about our final horseman, okay? Confession without conviction. And I really need you to lean in, friend, because this one is very deceptive. It's probably the most deceptive because on the surface, it looks like humility. On the surface, it looks like you're being faithful. On the surface, it looks like you're being real with God. It looks like authenticity, but it's another form of spiritual sabotage. Confession without conviction is when you admit your struggles, you talk about your sins, you pray about them. However, there is no change. It's when you know all the right words, but your heart is untouched. You confess the same sins over and over and over, but there is never any change and there is no freedom that you experience. So you're always praying, Lord, forgive me, but you never change the behavior. You never address the mindset. You never address the habits. There's no boundaries put in place. You tell God you're struggling, but you never let him transform you. You talk about your weaknesses to others, but that becomes a performance of vulnerability instead of a path to healing. You don't want no correction. You want to confess without correction. So confession without changing, apologizing without repentance, admitting without action.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting.
It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively the Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Is just a place for you to be honest, and then there's no healing. We have to look at the scripture in Isaiah 29:13 that says, these people come near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules that they have been taught. The people of Israel were doing all the right things. They sang the songs, they performed the rituals, but their hearts were untouched. Their confessions were empty because they were just going through the motions. And this is not just an Old Testament problem. Jesus quoted this verse to the Pharisees in Matthew 15, 7 and 8. They were the religious elite. They were the experts. They had to memorize prayer. They were scripture rather. They were masters of public prayer. And yet their hearts were hardened and they confessed God with their lips, but they refused to be changed by him and did not even recognize when they were in his presence. We oftentimes mistake confession for conviction, and they are not the same thing. Just because you feel guilty or ashamed does not mean that you're experiencing conviction. Feeling shame and feeling guilt versus conviction are not the same. Someone can be remorseful and not be repentant. Those things are not the same. You can be sad that you got caught, but you'll do it again. You see? Condemnation is this feeling bad about yourself. Okay? There's no condemnation in Christ. Condemnation is feeling bad about yourself without hope for change. It's that voice of shame that's like, this is the way that you are. You'll never change. Conviction is when the Holy Spirit shows you the truth and then invites you into transformation. It's the voice of God on the inside of you saying, hey, this is not who I made you to be. And I have power to change you. If you submit to that power, if you submit to the instruction, it's available to you. And so if you're stuck in a cycle of confessing the same sins without changing, you're not experiencing conviction. You're stuck in condemnation. And that's what makes this horseman so dangerous. It keeps you trapped in shame. And it's like you're pretending to be humble, but you never experience healing. And so then what ends up happening is you have this chronic guilt. You deal with shame. You may start to think, I'll never change. This is who I am. The devil is a liar. You become numb. Your heart gets hardened. So you repeat the same confession without change. And now you feel numb. You feel like God doesn't hear you. You stop even expecting God to change you. He doesn't change. He's the same. But you stop expecting him to change you, to do the work that is required to transform you. You're living in a place where you are constantly afraid to be exposed. So now you don't let people see the real you. You're masking. And then you feel this level of hopelessness, this cycle of sin, confess, without transformation. It puts you into a place of despair. The Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. And there's some deeper issues here. You may not fully understand repentance. You think that feeling guilty is the same as being transformed. It's not. Repentance, by definition, means to change your mind. So if your mind hasn't changed about the sin, you're going to fall right back into the same thing. If you don't understand, like, oh, no, fornication isn't just bad because God said so. This is why you don't see the red flags. Because you're caught up. Okay? You didn't turn into Usher. You're caught up, friend. And now you can't see sober-mindedly. You're not being sober-minded and vigilant. And now you find yourself in a relationship that the Lord never called you to be in. So because now my mind has changed and I see like, oh no, the Lord is protecting me. That's why fornication is bad. He's protecting me from the very real consequences, emotional, mental, and even some real tangible ones. Like, now you're a baby mama. And that's not what you ever wanted. Now you're dealing with this man and his family and their foolishness. So when your actual husband shows up, there's this added layer that we didn't have to deal with before had we just kept our eyes open and our legs closed. Amen. Repent means to change your mind about it. So now I look at that differently. I'm not willing to risk that. If you have a lot of habitual patterns, if your mind has become trained to return to that same sin, it's going to be a cycle. It's going to feel automatic. So you're going to have to start building new habits. You may be dealing with self-deception. You've convinced yourself that talking about your struggles is the same as healing them. There's a whole science behind why you shouldn't talk about the things that you're going to do because it releases dopamine and all of these other neurotransmitters. And this is why a lot of people procrastinate, because just talking and planning and talking it through without action, you're feeding your brain and you're feeding that feedback loop. And then you have found this level of emotional comfort in your vulnerability. You've become addicted to the feeling of being real without actually having to really be changed. Because you fear change, because you're dealing with shame, because it's easier for you to emotionally avoid. So rather than confronting the pain or the trauma that is at the root of your sin, you just keep covering it up with these shallow confessions. And then honestly, it's pride that has disguised itself as humility. You become so proud of your ability to be vulnerable. You're always admitting your struggles, but you never address them. And then anytime one of your friends tries to pull a James 5:16, okay, confess your sins one to another, and they try to give you some correction, you cut them off for being judgmental because you want to confess with no conviction, no correction. So if this is you, here are some ways that we can deal with this. First, we have to start moving from apology to action. Confession is not transformation. Feeling guilty is not the same thing as you being changed. So when you confess sin, I want you to start writing down one specific action that you're going to take to start to actively change your mind, to turn away from it. So if you confess to gossiping, don't just say, oh, Lord, forgive me. No, that person that you was just talking about, because the Bible says to pray for your enemies, start praying for them. Action. And then the Lord will start to reveal things about their heart that will give you a place and a peace where you can have more empathy for them. I want you to have a better understanding of repentance, or metanoia in the Greek, which means a complete change of mind, a radical transformation. So after you pray or you confess, Lord, what lie have I believed that led me to this sin? And then what truth do you want me to replace it with? So if you start falling into anxiety, Lord, show me what I'm believing about you that's not true. Am I believing that you won't provide for me? Am I believing that you have forsaken me? Okay, help me change that. And then God, give me practical things like getting off of social media and not letting everybody give me 75 million pieces of advice to where I don't feel even more anxious. Give me some practical boundaries to put in place. I want you to start replacing self-pity with self-discipline. It can feel good to talk about your struggles, but if you're not taking action, then you are just putting on a performance. So for every confession that you have, everything that you deal with, that one specific behavior that you're going to practice instead. Remember, a lot of times when we go back to something, it's out of habit. So that means we have to start building new habits. So if you are dealing with being impatient, if you are dealing with bitterness, commit to doing one act of intentional kindness each day this week for somebody random. Pay for the person's coffee behind you in the coffee shop. Then I want you to start getting actual accountability. And I mean accountability that is going to demand action. Anybody who really loves you, when you confess your sins to them one to another, they are going to say, so what are we about to do? I'm going to hear you. I'm going to love on you. I'm going to empathize. Okay, friend, what are we about to do? What are you doing differently this week? How are you letting God change you in this area? So if you struggle with negativity, then you need to ask your accountability partner to text you once a day so y'all can speak life to one another. We have to be intentional. And then I want you to start letting the word both confront you and comfort you. Scripture is a source of comfort. Okay? Scripture is a source of comfort, but we have to make sure that we are allowing the word to do everything that it can do and all of the functionalities that it has. So it can comfort you, but I also want you to start allowing the word of God to confront you. In 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, it says that all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All scripture is useful for teaching, so you're going to get that instruction. Rebuking, that means stop doing that. Correcting, putting you on the right path, and training you in righteousness, giving you the skills so you can live the life that Jesus died for you to have. So, I need you to, when you approach the word, ask the Lord three things. God, what is this revealing to me about you, your character, and how you feel about me, right? So, God, what am I learning about you? What is the word exposing about me? And how do you want this truth to change me today? So if you read Love Your Enemies, they'll be like, oh, yeah, I'm gonna just love my enemies. No, Lord, show me people who I consider enemies that I don't think I'm not being honest with you and saying out loud that they're enemies. Show me who I'm avoiding and then give me the courage to love them. Should I do something kind for them? In what way can I demonstrate that I'm loving my enemies? One time, I prayed this prayer. It's a little dangerous. God took me on over to Luke 6. He told me to do something nice for somebody who had really, really ticked me off. And I said, I'm going to do it, but like, I don't understand why. He took me on over to Luke 6. Okay, go find it in Luke 6. It's toward the end. I think it's like 30-something, the verse. And it talked about like, love your enemies. Because it's easy to love people who love you. You think you're doing something, huh? Like, the way that scripture confronted me, you think you're doing something because you're kind to people, Charlotte? I'm telling you to love your enemies because that's what I said. And then the Lord had me then reveal that scripture to somebody else when they saw me being kind to this person and they were confused. They were like, girl, the Lord pulled up on me. Let me show you what I have to adhere to. And because you, my friend, are also say, you should be adhering to it as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we can shut all this conversation now. My feelings haven't changed, but my response has because of who I serve. And over time, the Lord has revealed this is why this behavior is this way. Not providing an out, but an understanding and empathy so that I may pray for that person. And this is why we have to allow the word of God to confront us instead of just licking my wounds. Instead of just affirming that you're so great. We're not, honestly. The Bible tells us that our heart is deceitfully wicked. I'm not great without the Lord. All by myself, not great. But with God, I can be all things to all people, as Paul has said. Okay? So, I don't want you just to walk away from this series just feeling convicted, right? Like, that's so important to me that you experience change. We've spent these last two episodes talking about these four horsemen of spiritual sabotage. And I don't want this to be something that you just hear and forget. This has to be a place where you're like, all right, I'm done with this. Like, this has to be a line in the sand. This has to be a literal come to Jesus meeting, because these are not random struggles. These are very subtle, silent saboteurs that the enemy leverages in spiritual warfare. And you'll be stuck forever if you do not confront them. So I'm going to give you the full list again, okay? Information without intimacy. Knowing about God, but not actually knowing him. You can spend your whole life collecting Bible knowledge and miss the point. Okay? God didn't save you to be just a spiritual scholar. He saved you so that you could know him. Obedience without revelation. You're doing all the rules, but there's no relationship. You're treating your faithfulness like a formula. If I do this, then God must do that. God is not a vending machine. He's not a subscription service. He wants your heart, not just your habits. Okay? I literally had a nonprofit called Hearts Over Habits for this reason. Performance without purpose. This is a spiritual treadmill. You running, 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 you ain't going nowhere. And you're tired. Lactic acid buildup, okay? You're always serving, always striving, but you never have a sense of security in your relationship with the Lord. And now you're serving until you're burned out, you're bitter. And if you don't learn your value, then you are never going to know who you really are in God. And then finally, confession without conviction. Conviction meaning like, I'm going to change. And now I don't do this, and here is why. You love talking about your struggles, admitting them, praying about them. Nothing changes. It is a trap of empty apologies and shallow repentance. God does not want you to admit your sins. He wants to transform you out of them. If you do not deal with these horsemen, they are going to steal your faith, okay? And they are going to exhaust you. They're going to drain the literal life out of your relationship with God until there's nothing left and you're spiritually busy, you're emotionally dry, and you're a bitter believer. And we've all encountered some bitter believers. You don't have to stay stuck. And that's always the good news of Christ. That's the good news of the gospel, is that you don't have to be, because we have a high priest, a great high priest. This is a wake-up call. This is a wake-up call. You don't have to settle for a faith that is full of activity but lacks intimacy. That's not even real faith. Start really applying these principles that we've taught here. I want to sum this up for you to really help you accelerate coming out of these places. I want you to stop treating your faith like a study and start treating it like a relationship. So you may need to put down the commentary so you can just have a conversation with the Lord. That's where I'm at. Okay, the only commentary I got is a little chunk at the bottom. And I haven't even gotten that far. I'm just reading the overview of Joshua, and the Lord is dropping whole gems. We're going to talk about one next week from just reading the overview of Joshua and talking to the Lord about it. I want you to go beyond the Bible apps and the reading plans. I want you to, like, God, what do you want me to see here? What are you saying to me here? I want you to start serving God because you love him and not because you're trying to earn him. Faithfulness is not a formula. God is not obligated to bless you because you checked all the right boxes. We need to stop asking, what do I get for this? And we need to start asking, God, how is this bringing me closer to you? And if you're tired, if you're burned out, and if you're bitter, then you need to be honest. You need to be honest. Do not be like the older brother in the parable of the prodigal son. You hating from outside of the club, you can't even get in because you're mad. Huh? You're so focused on what you think you deserve. You're missing the party. There's cake. Okay, friend? There's cake here. I want you to stop letting busyness be your badge of honor, because God is not impressed with how much you do. He's moved by your surrender. I want you to start making room to be still, to be silent, and to make room for joy that isn't earned. Right after I record this podcast, I'm going to go see my friend and we're going to eat cheesesteak egg rolls, and it's going to be phenomenal. Why? Because it's Friday. Okay? And the Lord said I could. I want you to choose one thing that you're going to say no to this week so that you can say yes to being with God. And then finally, I want you to make your confessions a commitment to change. Don't just tell God you're sorry. Stop saying, God knows my heart. Correct. And it is deceitful and wicked. Are you okay with that? Correct. I hate that. God knows my heart, and it's terrible. Go read Hebrews 10 toward the end, 36 through 42, that talks about like, oh, if you know better and you're not doing better, you're making a mockery of Jesus's blood. And God got the smoke for that. That's the Charlotte Living Translation. I said, let me stop playing. Let me stop playing. Write down a specific action for every confession that you'll make. And then if you're stuck in a sin pattern, stop hiding it. Find somebody and say, hey, I need help. Pick your battle, okay? Do not try to get drawn and torn into 1,000 directions with what we've talked about here. Out of the 4 horsemen, start with the one, like rank them in your life, 1 through 4. Start with the one, friend, that is causing you the most grief, that's most prominent in your life. Pick one. And then I want you to start dealing with that one. Do not let the enemy overwhelm you or let your brain overwhelm you to where you shut down. Pick one. Start low, okay? Start low, go slow. This is what we say when we dose patients for medication. Start low, go slow, but go. So if you're dealing with information over intimacy, your prayer, God, I want to know you. I don't want to just know about you. If it's obedience without revelation, the next decision is for you to stop serving and to stop serving from a place of guilt. Okay? Choose one thing that you're about to let go of. Do like Elsa, let it go. All right? If it's performance without purpose, I need you to spend 10 minutes of silence with the Lord every day. Just, Lord, I'm here. I'm here. Don't even get to, Lord, I love you. Thank you. No, you're being busy. Just sit. Lord, I'm here. I'm here, and I'm here to receive. If it's confession without conviction, then your next confession is going to include a commitment to change. One action that you'll take. Don't forget what Ecclesiastes says about making a vow to God. Okay? This is an invitation. This isn't just a series. I don't want us to be casual with this. This is an invitation for you to get out of a cycle of being spiritually busy and emotionally empty. I want you to stop being a scholar of God's word, but a stranger to his presence. I need you to start being in a place where you are passionate about your faith so you can start experiencing real, deep, and transformative care and love in your relationship with God. God is not like these men out here. At all. He is not like them. So if you've been stuck, if you've been frustrated, if you've been feeling like your faith has been a performance, I want you to know that it does not have to stay this way. He's not impressed by your busyness. He is inviting you to know him, to rest in him, to be transformed by him, to actually experience him. So do not let these episodes just be another episode that you listen to. I want you to commit to, like, I'm done being stuck. I'm done with shallow faith. And I'm going to move into something real. That's my prayer and my commitment and my love for y'all. Like, I need y'all to have that. We all got to have it. If this series, friend, has been something that has blessed you, let me know. Come into the Purpose Collective. Let me know. If you have questions, if we need to stay right here for a second, let me know. Okay? The point is for you to get unstuck, for you to keep growing, for you to not perish because you do know him. This is how you go from a place to where you no longer lack knowledge. And it's just the beginning. So, friend, I love you real bad, but God loves you more. And I pray that this has blessed you. I can't wait for our episode next week. where we're going to be talking about the revelation that God gave me about experiencing the promised land and getting to your promise. Gathered. I'm so excited about it. Make sure you download the Spiritual Well app for all my Apple users. Android is coming. Meet us over in the Purpose Collective. Rate and review the show if it has been blessing you. We are in a new direction, y'all. So y'all's feedback is important to me to know, like, hey, girl, this is helping. Hey, girl, here's a little strive for five. Okay, like here's what I need. Here's more episodes that I wanna hear about. Let me know, friend. Okay, I love you. God bless you. Have an amazing week, and I'll talk to you next week.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.